You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here in beautiful Brevard County. I'm just telling Paul it's cool in this radio studio this morning. So first time I've been cool all day. That was supposed to be a joke. Anyway, we want to say thank you to the folks at Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. If you are in the central part of Brevard County and are having problems with your air conditioner, or, you know, you are just so proud that your air conditioner made it through all of the intense heat of the summer and late spring and early fall, and you want to reward it with a service call and give it a nice, good bath and cleaning and make sure that it is ready to go next time. I have found that TLC of taking care of our equipment, it lengthens the lifespan, if you will, of our equipment. And so if your AC needs something repaired, if you think it might need to be replaced and your electric bills go down next summer, if you just want to make sure that everything is in good working order, give Bill a call at Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284. 321-759-3284. So this year I've not got to play a whole lot of golf. I've been working on a pretty extensive project, and that's been occupying a lot of my time. We've got some family that's coming in here in the next few weeks, and you know, we'll probably play a couple of rounds of golf there. But one of the things that I have going on in my life that doesn't really have anything to do with spiritual values, it's just kind of relaxing for me, is golf. And I had this GPS system that I had on a phone at one point in time. And as a result of that, I get some golf jokes that are sent to me. And, you know, some of them are not good, and we just go away with those. But there was one here a week or so ago that talked about a husband and wife. They were avid golfers, and they died, and they went to heaven. And I don't know exactly what it was, but they both showed up at the same time, and you know, they go to the pearly gates and says, "Oh, you're golfers." And they said, "Oh, yes." And here, let me show you heaven's golf course. And they go, and it was absolutely beautiful. It was immaculate, challenging. And the longer that they played, the more they appreciated the beauty, but also the more the husband was bothered and frustrated by it. And the wife finally said, "This is the most beautiful golf course we have ever played. Why are you so frustrated?" He said, "Oh, I'm not frustrated with the golf course, but if you hadn't fed us those bran muffins, we could have been here a long time ago." You want your AC system to last as long as possible. The folks at Creative AC Solutions can help you out. Aren't you looking forward to spending eternity in the place that God has prepared for you? So with that being said, I want to invite you out to our services tonight. We have adult Bible study that is going on, Leveling the Praying Field. It's a book that is kind of taking the complications out of prayer, and instead of having that delegated to just some people who seem to be very articulate when it comes to praying, it is a book that challenges everyone to make prayer a priority and some practical ways in which we can do that. So if you'd like to be a part of that, that's Wednesday night at 7. We also have youth group at 7 tonight, and you know, my daughter heads that up, and so that's going to be really good. I was so blessed here recently. We have a prayer meeting that takes place on Tuesday night, and one of our young people showed up at the church, and they said, "Can I pray? Can I pray?" And I will tell you, as a pastor, that blessed me. You know, originally I thought that they might not have understood what was going on. I later realized they had a full grasp of what was going on, and they just wanted to talk to God. They wanted to be around people who were talking to God. And so that was greatly, greatly encouraging. Today I want to take you to Jeremiah chapter 17. We touched on this verse yesterday. We're actually going to read two verses today. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 9, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." So this thought that we're going to address today is the heart is deceitful above all things. You and I have got to come to a point of decision where we are going to determine which aspect of our being is going to be in control of our schedule, of our activities, of our finances. If it's going to be the body, if it's going to be the soul, if it's going to be the spirit. If we're going to be led by God's plan for our life, if we're going to be led by our carnal desires, or if we're going to be led by just whatever our heart feels, you know, we're just going to be the wandering individual that we're just going to meander over here, and then we're going to meander this way. We're just going to be led by our heart. I want you to understand that will get you virtually no place. Now, the heart we're going to be talking about today is the unregenerate heart. It's going to be the emotions, you know, what causes us to feel good at that point in time. And God is looking for us to love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. That's the option. The option that God is looking for is for us to be all in for him. And so David would address this in his life, and he would say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Now we tend to take that statement and make it into a nice little, you know, theological, what's the word I'm looking for? Little meme, if you will. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. But for David makes it a command from his spirit to his soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You'd find that in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord. Let me just turn back there just a moment so that we can take a look at that, and you can see that it has great benefit to us when we dictate from our spirit to the other aspects of our being. It's going to have an effect upon us. I'm almost there. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And David was saying, you know, I'm going to compel my soul to bless the Lord because there's spiritual benefit, there's mental benefit, there's health benefits, there's life benefits, there's quality of life benefits, there's even food benefits, there is strength benefits. There are all sorts of benefits from Psalm 103 where David says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And there's another passage where he says, why are you downcast within me? There was a time when people said that if you talk to yourself, that you were crazy. And I said, well, David did that. And they said, well, if you answer yourself, you are crazy. And I said, well, David did that too. And so I adopted that if, you know, you didn't have to be, you know, crazy to be a Christian. I think that the enemy was trying to talk us out of some of the benefits that God mandates for us or demonstrates for us in the Word of God. But apart from God, this heart of ours is above every other thing the most deceitful entity that we will encounter. The heart is deceitful above all things. Now, if someone lied to you, you would be very upset with them. If you found out that the devil was lying to you, if you found out that a government official was lying to you, you would be upset. But yet, when our heart lies to us, we want to give it a pass. We want to say, oh, well, that's no big deal. So, a few weeks ago, there was this meme that popped up, and it said, and you know, this is going to be one of those things that I remember because it impacted me. This person posted and said, being an adult is telling after the next weekend that things are going to slow down a bit and believing that until you die. And because of my past, I had told my son at one point in time, you know, after this project, I'm going to slow down. And he said, Dad, you're lying to yourself. And I when he said that, it was like, yeah, you're probably right. And so far, he's been right. It's just gone from one project to another project to another project. I'm now within weeks of completing a couple of other projects and on my goal, on my intentions list, you know, things that I want to make happen is I'm going to set aside the busyness and be much more intentional with my heart. There are things that I'm not going to just sit around twiddling my thumbs, but I'm going to be able to be very intentional because my heart is easily distracted. Your heart may be easily distracted, maybe not by people, but maybe by things, the busyness of life. And I believe that the first point in addressing when we are being lied to is coming to our heart and saying, I am removing the power that you have had to deceive me from your portfolio. I'm going to assume that apart from God, you are a liar. And therefore, you do not get to make the decisions. Your decision-making capabilities are removed. And so it says it's desperately wicked. It's not just wicked, it's wicked that is driven to increased wickedness. Sin is constantly crying out for more sin, more depravity. If you have an addiction, it's going to say, I'm going to need more of that in order just to maintain. Desperately wicked. You know, desperate people go to desperate measures. And if the Bible calls it desperately wicked, that means that it's longing for things that God has already told us in advance that it is not in our best interest for those things to be having any influence in our life. It says, who can know it? You know, in James, it talks about who can tame the tongue. It's the heart that controls the tongue. So if our tongue is constantly getting us in trouble, it is because our heart is controlling our tongue. So it's not just that we lack self-control of our mouth. It's that we have a heart issue that is going on. We need to address not just the symptom. We need to address the cause. So what is the solution for a heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked and nobody has the capabilities of knowing it? What's the solution? Well, the solution is in verse number 10, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. I don't think we really want to be in a works-based relationship with God. Most of the religions that men create are based upon their endeavors, their actions. God says, you're not going to be able to earn salvation. Salvation is the free gift from God. Anything that God has for us, every good and perfect gift, comes from the Father of the heavenly lights above. God is looking for us to recognize that being in relationship with Him sets us up to be receiving better things than we could ever earn. Now, don't misunderstand that that means that we're not supposed to be active. We are supposed to be working. We are supposed to laboring not be, to earn our salvation, but because of our salvation. So God says, I search the heart. I don't know if you've ever had to undergo a heart procedure, you know, one where they're either doing an angiogram, they're looking for blockages in your arteries or anything like that, whether it's an EKG where they're looking at the rhythm of your heartbeat, or whether it's a stress test to find out how your heart is operating. But I tell you that if you ever have an incident where you recognize that your heart is not functioning the way that God designed it, you will be saying, I need to go and I need to address this issue. I need to make sure that my heart is functioning sound. And so God says, I want to be your spiritual cardiologist, if you will. He was the one who was doing heart transplants before people ever knew that heart transplants could be done. He was the one who was saying, if you will come to me with your heart of stone, I will give you a heart of flesh. If you will come to me with your rebellious heart and ask me to forgive you of your sins, I will give you an obedient heart. God's saying, I know how to properly diagnose the situation. I, the Lord, search the heart, and I test the mind. There's one of these passages that we're going to be talking about here in the days to come. And when I ran across that, the Spirit of the Lord caused me to see something in that passage that for me, it was like that is a word that I needed to hear. Now, not the first time or the second time or the third time or even the 100th time that I have encountered that passage. It is not not the first time, but at when I was reviewing and studying and preparing, all of a sudden God said, this is for you. Hold on to this. Hold on to this. I, the Lord, search the heart, and I test the mind. Have you ever given any thought to how you think? How do you process thoughts? What causes you to think the way that you do? Because it's very important. We need to have our mind renewed. We need to make sure that it thinks the way that God wants it to think. So in Philippians chapter 4, it take me just a moment to get over there. The Bible tells us to, you know, how to think. Most of our education system is based upon getting people to understand what to think, okay? Not necessarily how to think. So it says here in verse number 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So there it tells you what to think. But the Bible also tells us how to think. It says that we are to bring every thought into captivity. We are supposed to make it subservient to the Lord Jesus Christ. Excuse me. And so if a thought comes in, we run it by the standard of Jesus. And if it doesn't line up with the standard of Jesus, then we take it into captivity, we imprison it, we lock it away, and we don't allow it access to our mind. Every time that happens, you do that. There is this tremendous pressure that is on in society to treat every thought as if it were equal. And that's just not the way that God tells us to operate our minds. We can have discussions with people, but I am not to entertain every thought that is presented to me. There are thoughts that are not good to entertain. You know, I don't think this, but I mean, if you're constantly thinking about things that violate the Ten Commandments, I can tell you that it will not be long before you start violating those Ten Commandments and you start doing those things. The one of the translations that I think it was the New International Version talked about a person who nursed a grudge. Now, I will tell you this, one of the reasons why I got away from preaching from the NIV is because they kept changing it, and so the Bible that I held in my hands was not necessarily the one that was showing up on electronic boards and stuff like that. And I said, I need something that is going to be consistent. So, but doesn't mean that I can't learn something. There are some people, they nurse that grudge, they feed it, they ponder it all night during the night. How can I? I am the Lord. I search the heart. I test the mind. So God, teach us how to think. And he says, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. The Lord searches our hearts and searches our minds, and that test prepares for us the things that we are going to receive from God. So, if you want to receive good things from God, your heart needs to be able to pass the test that it's not a heart of deceit. It's a heart that's been redeemed. It's not a damaged heart. It's a heart that's been repaired. It's a heart that is a heart of worship and not a heart of complaining. It is a heart that wants more of God, not wanting to displace God. And God says, when When you seek me, you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. So don't believe the lies that your heart is telling you. Okay? If you're constantly believing sources that are telling you the things that you want to hear, you're going to be easily deceived. The Bible talks about people who surround themselves with teachers who will tickle their ears, you know, will tell them exactly what it is that they want to hear. And so my daughter here a couple of weeks ago, we were having dinner with the missionary evangelist that was with us. And she said, you know, I love my dad's preaching because he gives us meat and potatoes. He doesn't give us the baby food. And the missionary evangelist turned to me and said, do you realize what a great compliment she just gave you? And I was like, I'm very, very thankful. I'm very thankful. But I'm not here to tell people the things that they want to hear. I don't want a doctor who tells me, well, you wanted to hear that you were perfectly fine when you came in. And in the meantime, the records show he's on the brink of eternity. He may not make it home from this doctor's visit. I want to hear a doctor who's going to be up front and be real. And so because of that, I can overlook a whole lot of curtness. I've got a doctor who told me what I needed to hear, but it wasn't the greatest bedside manner, if you could put it that way. It wasn't in the most polished presentation. It was just blunt, to the point, and said, if you want your life to get better, this is what you need to do. So with that spirit in mind, let me say this. If you're sick and tired of your heart lying to you and you look around and life is still not getting any better, I want you to hear it point blank. You need your heart replaced by Jesus. He will come and give you a heart for the things of God, a heart for the things of eternity. Your life will be better because of Jesus living in your heart. It will never get better with Jesus living on the outside of your heart. Don't believe the devil's lies. God has great things he wants to give to you. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what I ever do that was worth love from you, or the kindness you've shown. Lord, help me, Jesus, I'm wasted it, so help me, Jesus, you know what I am. Now that I know that I'm needing you, so help me, Jesus, my soul's in you. try me, Lord.